Hey, I'm Andy. And you're listening to the HMR Podcast. Over 10 years ago, I set myself the challenge of building my own property portfolio. And what began as a short-term investment plan soon became a long-term commitment to change the way young people live together. I've now built several successful businesses, I've raised millions of pounds of investment, and I've managed thousands of tenants. Join me and some very special guests to discover the tips, tricks and hacks, the ups and the downs, the best practice, and everything else you need to know to start, scale and systemize your very own HMO portfolio. Now.
I think there's a big difference between a property investor and a property entrepreneur. Everything from how you find your deals to what you get out of the back of deals depends on your approach. And that's why today I want to discuss the entrepreneurial mindset and specifically 10 methods that you can master for better results. So if you're just getting started or perhaps you're a seasoned investor that wants to scale things up, today's episode is definitely one you want to stick around for. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of the HMO Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Andy here. We're going to be getting back to the podcast in just a moment. But before we do, I want to tell you very quickly about the HMO roadmap. Now, if you're serious about replacing your income, or perhaps you've already got a HMO portfolio that you want to scale up, then the HMO roadmap really is your one-stop shop. Inside the roadmap, you'll find a full 60-lesson course delivered by me, teaching you how to find more deals, how to fund more deals and raise private finance, how to refurbish great properties, how to fill them with great tenants that stay for longer, and how to manage your properties and tenants for the future. We've also got guest workshops added every single month. We've got new videos added every single week about all sorts of topics. We've got downloadable resources, cheat sheets and swipe files to help you. We've got case studies from guests and community members who are doing incredible projects that you can learn from. And we've also built an application just for you that allows you to appraise and evaluate your deals, stack them side by side and track the key metrics that are most important to you. To find out more, head to the hmoroadmap.co.uk now and come and join our incredible community of HMO property investors.
Okay, welcome back. So today we're going to discuss the entrepreneurial mindset, and specifically I want to share 10 methods that you can master for better results. Now, I think that property investors and property entrepreneurs are quite different. I would consider myself to be the latter, but it took me over a decade to actually recognize this. And when I did, I started to embrace it. And all of these characteristics and traits that I'm going to share with you in today's episode helped me. When I accepted it, I was able to lean into it. I started to build a network around me who was more similar. That helped to lift me up. I got better results. I enjoyed the process more. And I hope today that by sharing this with you, if you resonate with some of this stuff, I hope that you can do the same. I hope that you find that you can lean into it a little bit more, that it's okay to approach things in a certain way and feel a certain way about stuff. And property investors typically, certainly in my opinion and my experience, often have capital or part of the capital that they want or need to build their property business from other sources. Maybe they've already got it in savings or a pension. Maybe they've got a good job, money that they've inherited. But what they want to do with property isn't necessarily their primary focus. They're not trying to maximize each deal to do the next one. They're just trying to deploy capital, get a good, strong, steady, long-term return. Yes, they're absolutely trying to make money, but they're much more reactive. They're looking at what's coming on the market. They're trying to buy stuff. They are not trying to sniff out all of the opportunities. They are not trying to squeeze everything out of every single deal. And that's fine. That is absolutely okay. They might make 5-10 times more money in their job or in their other business or whatever it might be. But for us property entrepreneurs, we are squeezing the juice out of every single deal. We're in a rush. We want big results. We want the results quickly. We are prepared to take risk. We are getting stressed out. We are finding creative solutions to do deals and to get out of deals and all of this stuff. I think most of you listening to today's episode will probably be property entrepreneurs. That's my gut feeling. Certainly, I think a lot of members in our community, most members in our community on Facebook are probably property entrepreneurs. And I know that because you're all super creative. You're all working really hard to find the very best deals and to squeeze out the very most you can from your deals. Really creative solutions. But There are certain characteristics and traits, and I think that by understanding those and embracing them, you can get better results. You can enjoy the process much more, and you'll ultimately get where you want to get much more quickly. So that's why I want to share these 10 characteristics or traits or methods, if you like, to help you get better results. So I don't want to waste any time. I want to get stuck straight into today's episode. And the first thing that I want to talk to you about is embracing risk taking. At the HMO Awards last year, I did a talk and I talked about some of the characteristics that after 15 years in the game and however many years doing the podcast and talking to hundreds, if not thousands of people about their property businesses, I learned that these certain traits were similar with and amongst the most successful examples I've seen of people who've built really great, very profitable HMO property businesses. There were a certain number of traits and characteristics that I could see and recognize in them. And I shared these at the HMO Awards in the speech and the talk that I did. And the first one that I'm going to share with you today is one of those, and that is the ability to embrace risk taking. Now, please don't confuse this with being cavalier towards risk. I'm not. I am very risk orientated. I am always, always, always looking for a way to reduce the risk. How can I mitigate the risk? How can I remove the risk entirely if possible? But I am prepared to take a risk. There is always a point in the deal where there is a certain amount of risk. Unless you've got someone who's going to give you 100% of the funding, back you completely, doesn't care whether it goes wrong, doesn't care whether they get their money back, there's going to be risk. You can't, with absolute 100% assurance, know what the end valuation is. You can't, with absolute assurance and 100% confidence, know what interest rate you're going to be at the end of the deal. You can't, with 100% assurance, know what you're going to spend on the refurb or how long it's going to take. All of these things are, to some degree, out of our control. And there is a point where you need to get to where you've contained the risk as much as possible, but you then say, I'm ready. I'm going to do it and I am prepared to take this risk. Not just that, I'm going to embrace this risk. I'm going to enjoy it. And I am going to leverage that risk because that is where the reward is. Now, again, not saying that you have to take huge risks. I'm not even saying that taking risks guarantees big rewards. It doesn't. Please don't sort of take today's episode and in any way sort of try and spin it into that. You've got to contain risk, you've got to mitigate them, but you do need to embrace risk taking. If you are naturally a bit of a risk taker, if you quite like that, if you, like me, get a bit excited about it, it probably says and is telling you that you are more of a property entrepreneur than a property investor. Property investors typically don't want to take too much risk, really want to contain it as much as possible. And that's why certain deals where you buy almost definition, remove the risk. For example, you just buy a going concern, buy a property that's had tenants in it for 3, 4, 5 years that doesn't need a refurbishment, that's right next to, let's say, the university campus. That's low risk deploying capital, not much opportunity to get any money back out of the deal if you're not going to do anything with it. It's just a property investment. Fine, it's absolutely okay. But if you need more, if you're buying deals to add value, to recycle cash, then you are going to have to take some risk and you need to embrace that risk. So it's okay. You will get to a point in every single deal, if you're a property entrepreneur, where there is risk and you need to step forwards. You need to take that leap of faith and you need to embrace it. The second thing I want to talk to you about today is adaptability and flexibility. Property entrepreneurs are super adaptable and super flexible. The reality is, in property, particularly, things go wrong all the time. From issues with the legal work to the lenders to your refurb to your refinance, your HMO license to your tenants, things go wrong. And you need to be able to adapt and be flexible to figure stuff out. It's really, really important. Some landlords, some property investors, they're less prepared to do that. They're a little bit more black and white about things. Again, absolutely fine. Things need to fit into that box. That's their strategy. But if you're a property entrepreneur, you're taking these sorts of risks, you've got to accept that things are going to come from the left field. You need to adapt. You need to be very flexible. And you need to be able to make these changes very, very quickly. Good entrepreneurs, successful property entrepreneurs, they don't hesitate. They make very quick, but confident and logic-based decisions. So if you're finding these sorts of things are coming at you, don't worry. That's normal. It's property investments, certainly with HMOs, things like planning as well. But embrace it and remain agile, remain adaptable, remain flexible. You'll get a lot more out of your deals. Sometimes that means changing the plan. Sometimes that means tearing up the rule book and you've got to do things a different way. It's okay, but Be flexible, be adaptable. Number three then, vision and goal setting. Property investors don't usually have a business plan. They're usually, again, looking just to deploy capital that they've already earned or acquired elsewhere. They might have a financial objective to get a certain averaged return. They might have an idea of how diversified they want their portfolio to be. But as a property entrepreneur, you need a vision and you need a goal. I talk about this a lot on the show, a lot in the community. It's a topic that we cover heavily inside the HMO roadmap, and it's a key part of my business and building my property businesses. I am super focused on my long-term vision. I'm going to share that later in the year in one of my business update episodes. I'm going to bring you up to speed with what my much bigger 10-year vision is, but I like to break things down. I like to set goals. I like to work towards goals regularly every year, every quarter, every month, every week, every day. Everything is broken down into goals. And that vision is always there and it is always driving me. If you've got a vision, if you've got things on the wall, things that you want to do, places that you want to be, people you want to spend your time around, if you want to live your life in a particular way and you think property is the way to do it, you probably are a property entrepreneur, but you need to embrace that and you need to embrace the idea of following a vision, pursuing that longer term objective and setting goals to help you do it. It's a key trait. It's something I do all the time. And I suspect to some level and degree you do it. But I think if you lean into this more and really take advantage of the benefits of having a vision, setting goals can give you, you'll get a lot more out of what you're doing. You'll achieve much better results and you'll achieve them much more quickly. Number four, problem solving skills. I think property entrepreneurs are very good at this. There's a lot of problems in property. We all know that. I just mentioned some of them. You need to be able to figure those problems out. In my development business, I would say that 80% of it is just figuring problems out, from issues on site, technical things, to issues with banks. You just need to be very good at putting one foot in front of the other. Figuring a problem out, putting a solution in place, being always solutions orientated and just moving forward. Sometimes you cannot see the finish line, but you have to have the faith and you have to have the discipline to keep putting one step in front of the other. And to do that, you need to be able to solve problems because there are going to be an awful lot of them come your way. Now, of course, to solve problems, you need a couple of things. First of all, you need a good level of knowledge. You also need a good network, people who can help you, because you're not going to be able to solve every problem. You're going to be able to or need to pick up the phone and ask someone for help. What do you think about this? Can you help me out this pickle? And then, of course, you're going to need the right attitude. You need an attitude that wants to solve problems. If you don't want to solve problems, if you want to walk away, if you want to bury your head in the sand, this is not the right game for you. You're certainly not a property entrepreneur. Property entrepreneurs get stuck into that. They head on deal with issues that come their way. And if you do that, you'll get much better results and you'll get them much more quickly. Number five, continuous learning. Touched on it in the previous point, but look, property entrepreneurs are always trying to find ways to be better, to acquire more knowledge, to expand their knowledge base so that they can do more. They can do more in different places. They can do different types of deals. They can do bigger deals. They can get more out of their deals. There's so much to know and learn in our game, and things move and change so quickly. But keeping abreast, keeping ahead of the curve by continually learning, using resources like the podcast here, like the HMO roadmap with all of its tools in there that can help you streamline and be more efficient and figure things out that you didn't previously know, that is going to help you get much better results and get them much more quickly. Number six then, networking and building relationships. Property investors who have some acquired capital, just want to deploy it, get a good return or whatever return they want, don't necessarily need to invest time in building their network and other relationships. Yes, it might help if they've got some good contacts. And yes, if you're in the game long enough, you are going to naturally build those sorts of relationships. But as a property entrepreneur, you need to recognize that that is a key part of getting to where you're going to get. People will help you leapfrog these issues and you can get where you want much more quickly with the right people. You can stand on their shoulders. And that for me, I've been very open and honest about this over the years. That for me has probably been the single most important reason behind my successes. It's the people that I've worked with, the people that I've worked with along the way that have helped me, that have catapulted me forwards. But that means you have to invest the time. You have to really lean into this. Now, I'm not saying you have to naturally be an expert at it. We're not all that good at talking to people. I'm actually quite a shy person. I don't really like wandering into a room and talking to lots of people that I don't know. But the important thing here is embracing the fact that this is one of the characteristics of property entrepreneurs. It's just one of the things that we need to do. So if we put it on the list and we find a way to do it and to ideally get better at it, we don't have to be the very best at it, but we will find that it helps us get better results and it'll help us get those results much more quickly. Okay, the next point I want to share with you, the next trait or method or characteristic, if you like, that I think you need to master for better results, and this is probably my favorite one, is just resilience and grit. So much shit is going to come your way as a property investor. You are going to find it at times incredibly difficult. Sleepless nights, lots of stress, often, you know, feeling incredibly poor because investing in property requires so much capital, particularly when we're using creative solutions and really trying to squeeze everything we can out of deals. But you've got to be resilient. You've got to show determination and grit. And that means you've got to have a very thick skin. You just need to be able to zip up, take it on the chin, get knocked down, but get back up. It's so important. I think, if I'm totally honest, the people that struggle with that the most struggle to get beyond a certain level in this game. A lot of investors want to do or move on to bigger deals, maybe build things or do commercial conversions or maybe do 10 plus bed HMOs. But the bigger the deals, the bigger the problems. And if you're not good at dealing with problems, if it really gets to you emotionally and you can't shake that or you can't put it aside, you can't kind of just break through that wall and continue to solve the problems or find adaptable and flexible solutions, you're really going to struggle. Now, what I would say is we're all going to react differently to certain problems, and some of us are tougher than others. I'm not the toughest person for sure, and I've had many sleepless nights, trust me. But I think at least understanding that this is part of the game and putting up a bit of a fight to it, I think that that's going to really help us. And if we can just lean into that, along with the other characteristics and traits that we're talking about in today's episode, you'll definitely get much better results and you'll get them much more quickly. Number eight then, innovation and creativity. I think that this is really what sets the property entrepreneur apart from the property investor. As property entrepreneurs, we're really good at sniffing those deals out. You know, we're doing direct-to-vendor campaigns, we're networking, we're doing creative deals like lease options because we haven't quite got the cash, we're doing land assembly deals, we're doing all of this stuff, we're doing rent-to-rent deals, you know, we're taking control of the properties, but we don't really have the money to buy it. All of these innovative and creative solutions, to some extent, define property entrepreneurs. And the cool thing is, you can apply elements of this and some deals, and sometimes you don't need it. Sometimes the deal is just a bit more straightforward. But if you can find solutions to really kind of get into a deal that you might otherwise not be able to, let's say, because quite simply you don't have the cash or the capital at hand to do it, you can find a creative and an innovative solution to get into a deal. That is just fantastic. Like, I'll give you a really very quick and simple example. I don't have all the capital in my bank account to buy the commercial deals that we do. So we find lots of creative, innovative solutions to buy things, to get planning permission under, let's say, some sort of conditional exchange. We are very good at raising money and have found lots of really good and creative solutions to raise money. And that sets property entrepreneurs apart from property investors. Property investors, again, typically relying on what they've got, working within their own sort of safe zone, within the kind of the framework of the resources that they've already got. So try and find those innovative and those creative solutions. A little bit of this is tied to your continuous learning. How much are you learning? What do you know about doing sort of exchanges with delayed completions? What do you know about raising private finance? What do you know about lease options and these sorts of alternative ways of taking control of properties? Moving on to number nine then, resourcefulness and efficiency. This is, I think, one of the things, certainly the latter point here, efficiency, that most entrepreneurs struggle with more than most. We're often going at 100 miles an hour, deals, 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 just trying to get stuff done, trying to get them over the line, solving problems, putting out fires, and that's great. And that is fine. And that is part and parcel of being a property entrepreneur. But finding time to implement efficient solutions is really, really important. So we're talking about systems and processes. What can we automate? What can we just delete altogether? What can we delegate? Can we build a team? Can we recruit people to help with these sorts of things? This is really, really important because there's a natural threshold to the amount of work and the type of work that we can all take on. But if you're resourceful, if you draw on different things, different skills, different peoples, different products, different tools to help you be more efficient, you'll find it much easier. You'll find it is much easier to get the results that you want. You'll find that you get those results much more quickly. And often what you'll then find is actually you can apply those same techniques or that same resourcefulness and methods of driving efficiency into other areas of your business. So it could be around your direct to vendor campaigns. You can find some really efficient and resourceful solutions to do that. As opposed to, for example, writing out each letter, printing it on your home printer, putting it in an envelope, licking the envelope, putting the stamp on. You know, that is not an efficient or resourceful solution. There are many other different and better ways to do this. Now, arguably, you might get slightly different results, but what's the offset? What is the compromise of doing it that way? You've got a lot to do as a property entrepreneur, so it's important to focus on the broader picture and not get sucked too far into the detail of any one thing. So resourceful solutions and finding efficient ways of building processes and systems is absolutely key to getting what you want and getting it more quickly. Finally then, number 10. Really simple one, and I think this is definitely shared with property investors as well, but that is a market awareness and understanding trends in the game. I think entrepreneurs are much more aware of trends than, for example, property investors. And I'm talking about the type of living that people are after, the type of designs, the types of platforms that tenants are using, methods of communicating with tenants. A lot of property investors are not paying much attention to this sort of thing. But actually, as a property entrepreneur, there's a huge advantage for you there if you really understand what's going on in the market. And I don't just mean because you read the news headlines, because that will tell you anything. And on any given day, you'll get a different outlook on the property market. But if you're really getting into the data, if you're actually building a fundamental awareness of what is going on the ground that affects your business model, you'll have a huge advantage. And that advantage will obviously help you get better results, get those results much more quickly. And taking advantage of those trends, where are the young people, your tenants hanging out? How are they communicating? How can you build a better and more profitable business by taking advantage of those trends? I think entrepreneurs, property entrepreneurs, they're aware of these sorts of things. They're leveraging, they're using them to their advantage. So there we go, guys. 10 things that I think if you master, or at least if you lean into them, you'll get much better results and you'll get them much more quickly. So let's recap. Look, again, if you're not resonating with much of this and you think you might be more of a property investor, that is absolutely fine. It's not a right or wrong. It's absolutely fine. And a lot of property investors, certainly property investors who've been doing this a long, long time, will be very, very wealthy because they've continued just to make smart decisions. They've invested well for good, strong returns, but probably have acquired their capital from somewhere else. They've not necessarily built all of their wealth in property. Property entrepreneurs, on the other hand, are building their wealth within property, from property. We're squeezing as much juice as we can out of every single deal. And to do that, we need to lean into these different characteristics or these different methods. So first of all, embrace risk-taking. Number two, be adaptable, remain flexible. Number three, have a vision and set goals. Number four, approach things with a problem-solving mindset. Number five, continuous learning. Keep trying to further your knowledge. Number six, prioritize networking and building your relationship. The people that you have around you, they'll help you. You can stand on their shoulders and you'll get much further, much more quickly. Number seven, you've got to have a genuine resilience and grit. Number eight, use your innovation and your creativity to your advantage, to find more deals, to do more with your deals. Number nine, your resourcefulness and your efficiency is key to how much and how far you are going to go, what you're going to create here. It's an essential part of being a property entrepreneur. Don't get sucked into trying to do too much. You've got to take some time out to apply some of your knowledge and skill and time to building efficient solutions. And finally, number 10, have a genuine understanding of what is going on in your market. You've got to be really aware of that and keep on top of the trends because that'll give you a huge advantage in the market. You'll be able to keep on top of the curve. So there we go. 10 traits, 10 characteristics, 10 methods, if you like, that I think if you master, you'll be able to get much better results and you'll be able to get them much more quickly. I really enjoyed recording today's episode because as I was planning it out, I started to see these similarities and these things in my own work. And a lot of this stuff I didn't used to have. I really had to lean into it and I really had to learn a lot of it. If I take kind of resilience and grit, actually, I'm not the toughest individual in the world. I still do get kind of impacted and can feel quite upset when things don't go my way. But I've got much better at dealing with that, accepting it is what it is. I can't control it. I get knocked down and I'm quite happy now to just get back up. I'm really flexible and adaptable. I just know from doing this for so long that what we often want to do is often not the way that it's going to pan out. We're going to have to find a slightly different way of doing it to please someone else, either an investor or a bank or a builder or the planning department, whatever it is. And if you're too rigid, you're going to put yourself limitations in place. So remain flexible and adaptable. And that's definitely something that I've had to get much better at over time. But hopefully there's things in here today that you can resonate with and maybe things that you don't resonate with quite so much, but what I'm suggesting is you lean into them. Take the points around continuous learning or being more innovative and creative. If you get better at that, you'll get better results. That's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it useful. If you did, can I ask you a huge favor? Could you share it with someone else, another investor, perhaps a family member or a friend that you might think will enjoy it or find it useful as well? It really helps the further that we can spread the message of the podcast and what we're doing here and all the great work that you guys and our guests on the podcast are doing, the better. And if you've got 30 seconds to leave a really quick review, I'd be hugely grateful. It takes a lot of time and work and effort to record the podcast and plan them. And I'm hugely grateful that you guys tune in every week and listen to them. But if you could give us a quick review, it helps continue to spread the message and helps us continue to bring great guests on the show. You can leave a review on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, and I'd be hugely grateful. And don't forget that if you do want to level things up, if you want to learn more about, for example, the innovative and creative solutions that you can use to build your property business, all the information, over 400 educational resources and tools are waiting for you inside the HMO roadmap. More than I could possibly begin to even try and tell you or share with you right now. It is an absolute monster resource and it'll cost you less than a cup of coffee every single day. An absolute no-brainer in my opinion if you're spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on buying properties. It's important that we get this stuff right. That's it, guys. Thank you again for tuning in. And don't forget that I'll be right back here in the very same place next week. So please join me then for another installment of the HMO podcast.